Okay, so this is Sachin Karnik with Dr. Chetna. She's going to talk about complementary medicines. We'll find out what that's all about. So we will have a web page dedicated to that in the new nonprofit, Angel Wings, or The Angel Wings. And let's see where it goes. I'll be asking her some questions because I want to learn more about it also. Also, would you do me a favor before you get started with this, and that is to give your credentials, your current certifications, your licenses, and Vinny's also, what they are, you know, so that way I'm familiar with it, and if you can just start with that, and then can go into the functional medicine piece.
Yeah, so I'm Chetna Kripalu, and I'm certified in I'm board certified in family medicine, and that is my main certification. I'm actually in the process. I'm in school right now, but to get certified in functional medicine. And also, I do, practice heart math techniques in the process of certification, also. And, that, and Vinny also, and my husband's name is Vinod Kripalu. He's in the same practice as I am. He's board certified in internal medicine, and he's also certified in functional medicine.
Okay, good. All right, so let's talk about this area. What is that called again?
It's complementary medicine.
Okay,
so
what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so complementary medicine is basically, obviously, it means that it's not instead of, it is just complements, whatever we are doing in the traditional aspect. Because I feel like every other modality, there is no alternate, and I feel that concept itself doesn't make sense because everything complements each other. You know, everything has its place. And what is the most important thing in for healers or practitioners or providers or whatever we call ourselves is to choose the right modality as far as possible for that particular client or patient at that particular time. And so they're all working in cohesion. They're all working together. So there is nothing which is saying that one is superior, one is inferior, because I see this battle happen all the time, you know. Alternate people hate the traditional fact medicine. Traditional medicine say all the others are quacks. So it is not, it is just not the case. Everybody, every modality has a place. You have to just choose the right modality as you go along. So the idea here is, of course, as practitioners, one has to be open to learning more and more as they go along and gathering more tools under their belt so that they actually can use as many tools as possible for the people. And by learning these tools, they actually get deeper and deeper and they can connect more with their patients. So that is the best part of this, that. So that's why I think I was kind of being open, and that's how I came across functional medicine. I came across Ayurveda. I came across homeopathy. But what interests me the most, and what I have actually, learned a couple of things in my journey is Reiki. I'm a master practitioner. I forgot to put that part in Reiki. Okay. I don't practice it yet because of lack of time, but that is my goal at some point. So what is Reiki? Reiki, I'm just going to give a couple of lines about each of them because it's going to be developing as we go along. And some of them are just names which I've been enamored by, but I may not be the one, but I would probably have practitioners come and help me out with the clients and the patients. So Reiki, I could do, I know that I'm the master Reiki. So what is Reiki? It is actually an art which was started in Japan years and years, many, many years ago, thousands of years ago, where, they started seeing that our own body actually heals, as we already know, but it's kind of healing with hands. So it is not massage where you intentionally work on the muscles. It's even better than that, that you can actually create energy in your hands and heal, not only yourself, but actually the clients who come in front of you. So there's a whole pattern, it's a whole science behind it, how this happens, but you do need to learn the art to open up these energies in your hands so you can actually heal people. So that's one way of doing it, and it's actually a whole body scanning, it's a whole body's healing. It works with energies in your at a different level, not a physical level, at the energetic level, and that's how healing is done. So it has a big place since we know we're always, energy beings. So it matters a lot in pain control, in emotional healing or releasing, even in certain diseases which kind of, you know, have this emotional background, and things like that. The next one is called Emotional Freedom Techniques, and this was started by this gentleman. His name was Mr. Craig, and he actually learned it from another, you know, actually he was a chiropractor. I don't remember his name right now. I'm probably going to give it to you later, but it's not coming to me right now. So, but anyway, what it is based on is acupressure. So acupressure, as we know, is a kind of a offshoot of acupuncture. So they don't put in needles, but at certain points in the body, which has these, I know when you touch on them or tap on them, they stimulate a whole energetic pathway, which is what the whole idea is. So the emotional freedom technique is actually even a shorter version of the acupressure, because if you go to acupressure, you need a practitioner to actually help you, just like Reiki.
Yeah.
But in it's called EFT, emotional freedom technique. It's also another name is tapping. And it's very useful because we can do it on ourselves. So we can teach clients and, you know, patients, however you want to call it, to work on themselves. These are very good tools for anything, a lot of things. It's basically the way it works is if you imagine a big table, like a coffee table or a dining table, with a thousand and, or, you know, thousands of legs which have these different, and these legs, each of it stands for an emotional component which is holding up this symptom in your body and is not leaving you, like joint pains or muscle aches or any somatic complaints. What the EFT does by, the acupressure part of it, is it releases and lets go of these legs. So the idea is it doesn't have to reach to the thousands of legs to let the tabletop. It's just even a few of it when you start seeing release of symptoms and it all leaves you. So that's the whole idea. And it's very fascinating. There's a whole bunch, you know, like a whole field dedicated to it, and people just do EFT as by themselves, and they're called EFT practitioners.
Very good.
And so that's one. And the other one is acupuncture itself. Like I was telling you, there's acupuncture, practitioners and everything. I do not do that, but people have benefited from it. So that's something I would look into for practitioners who are willing to come and help me out by working on people. And the last one, which is not that heard of, it's called self-identity through ho'oponopono. It's a prayer. But the way it works is it's a kind of a subconscious programming or reprogramming. And I think most of our, psychosomatic illnesses, most of our illnesses, physical illnesses, are psychosomatic. And so what it does is a lot of them stem from our subconscious area. If you really look at it, we know we have a conscious part of our, mind, and a subconscious and maybe an unconscious part of it too. Most of the time we function 95% of the time from the subconscious aspect, and only 5% of it is conscious. So the 5% of conscious mind, and it's kind of scary because, we don't know what we're doing 95% of the time, that means. And so we don't know what's in there, in the 95% of the mind, what you hold in it. So what this prayer does, it's kind of very simple. It started in Hawaii, and just give a background because it's important to tell you what it actually means. It came to light by this Hawaiian psychologist, actually, who was educated in the U.S. He is a PhD psychologist, and his name is Dr. Hugh Len. His original name is Haleakala Hugh Len. He trained under this, a spiritual lady called Morna Simeona. But anyway, what I'm going to talk more, a little bit more about him, is what he did was he trained under her, and this was just a 4-line prayer. And it's, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. So the meaning of these is you're not asking for sorry from a person or forgiveness from a person or anything like that. Mm-hmm. The thing you're trying to do is delve so deep into your subconscious, and they call this subconscious, you can give it another name as your inner child. So what you're trying to tell the inner child, your own subconscious aspect, is saying, I'm so sorry I ignored you because you really don't know who you are and you've never delved that deep enough.
Yeah.
And you're asking for forgiveness because you unconsciously or, you know, not knowingly put so much through the impulses going through your brain, even right. scientifically, into your subconscious mind,
exactly.
you're not aware of. So you're really intentionally clearing it up and saying thank you for all the, you know, because everything in your life is for a reason, and that's my faith and belief. And it's there for a reason to give you or to bring about or, you know, not a change, but to address something you are not looking into. So when you're looking into it, it releases. So the point is, so you're saying thank you for bringing this up, and then you're letting it go intentionally by, you know, saying I love you. So whenever this I love you is said, because everything is about love and compassion, it opens up your channels to the divine. I know I'm going a little bit into the spiritual aspect, but this is all about healing. So we're talking at a deeper level, at the energetic level, subconscious level. So this doctor, who's a psychologist, was assigned in Hawaii to a mental institution, which is for criminally insane.
Okay.
When I say criminally insane, these are people who are murderers, who are really badly deranged in their mind. You know, sociopaths and psychopaths and serial killers and all of them. So he, and people had come and gone, psychologists, psychiatrists, nurses, and there was this turnover, like a literally revolving door of nobody wanting to stay there because of the intensity of the, you know, the place. So he took it upon himself because he had this, you know, gift, and he did not really even do counseling sessions.
Yeah.
He used this prayer, but the way he explains it is, there's a reason why we are triggered because of the emotions we feel because of the people in your lives are there. Like, let's say if this psychologist had this prisoner come into his life for help. He's there for a reason. It's evoking certain emotions and feelings in him. So he worked on himself. So every time he was working and saying these prayers was on himself, not really on the other person. So whenever he was working on himself nonstop for 4 years on, you know, keeping them in their in these prayers, he used to clear them. And in 4 years, yes, it took him 4 years, but nonstop, literally 365 days a year, and saying these prayers on, you know, so you know, tirelessly and relentlessly, the medical institution had to be closed down, and all these people went back to a good, you know, healing and you know, to a good functioning lives. So it's really powerful, and this has been taken on by even famous people like Dr. Joe Vitale, who is like guy who, you know, wrote Secret, and he's become really a billionaire right now and he was homeless at one point, literally had nothing. So he was the one who discovered Dr. Hugh Len, and he did workshops with him, and he used these techniques in his life, and he's helped to tons of people. And everybody who's, you know, become a certified, you know, practitioner in this technique, and it's really simple, as you saw, and it just has to be done relentlessly on yourself.
So it's a prayer.
It's a prayer.
It's a four-line prayer.
Correct.
Is it English? What's the language?
It's English. I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you, and I love you.
And how long is it repeated?
You can do it nonstop all the time. Because you remember, you have these billion bits of information.
So I'm sorry, then what is the
Please lesson? Forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Thank you, and I love you.
Thank you, and I love you.
There's a song on YouTube, too.
Okay.
It's by different people.
What is the name of the doctor again?
Dr. E. Haleakala Hugh Len.
Haleakala, that sounds like the beach mantra. Haleakala is the mountain.
Yeah. Oh, in Hawaii.
Haleakala or
E. Haleakala. That means I. It's
okay,
I. E. Haleakala.
Yeah, Mount Haleakala. It's in Maui, Haleakala.
That's probably after that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was being named after that mountain, probably. But it is so powerful, I can't tell you. I can tell you from my personal experience.
Yeah, it's very powerful.
I have
is
done
it. Is there music with this, or just say it by yourself?
Just say it yourself. You can create your music if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But on YouTube, you have songs dedicated
about
to
this.
That. Uh-huh. For an hour. There's a 5-minute song if you want. And you can do it as a meditation. You can do it nonstop. And whenever you remember, this is a good thing also when your mind wanders off, you know, it goes into the negative spot to bring it back. So you are actually helping. Even when you feel, when people feel helpless, you know, you can't help a person.
Right,
when you, when you know, that feeling dissipates when you're doing, when you do it on yourself. So this is an, again, a transference, right? We're all connected.
Sure, sure.
So when you work on you, you work on others. So it's all, again, coming back to you. It is nothing that you're... So that's the false concept of counselors and psychologists, that I am supposed to heal that person.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're healing you. You, you, you.
Yeah.
So it's 100% responsibility. I call it 100% APR. Absolute personal responsibility you're taking
mm-hmm.
on you at every instant. Because the only thing you can change is how you look at yourself. Anything, right? So that's all you're doing at every point in any situation. So is, so that's the, because I bring that up because it really came to me many times. Because when I was frustrated, I couldn't help people. I felt like I'm helpless. This always I do. And I just let it be. And believe it or not, I will hear 6 months down the road, even 3 months down the road, about people who have like, oh my God, this happened to me. And I can't believe it. This, so it works at a deeper level. We don't even know the energetic level, and probably even deeper. So that's another complementary medicine. So these are the ones I have this, you know, like I had experiences with. I'm, there's so many out there, more reflexology than somebody was talking about. I can't remember. There's a lot more out there. So there is no limit to complementary medicine.
So, okay, so I have a question
yes.
regarding this. Okay, so this is all very good, and it is complementary, the way you have put it. As part of the non-profit, the Angel Wings non-profit, this would be an arm of that,
mm-hmm.
right? So are you looking to hire people to do this work in like a wellness center or even in the medical offices? Where do you, how do you visualize that? How do you conceptualize
so
that?
The, obviously, this is non-profit. So I'm really, yes, I am trying to bring in as many people who are who have the same vision of helping the community
yeah.
and heal the community or heal people to come into the fold. Because again, the more number of people who are involved, it'll help more number of people.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do alone. You want the community helping the community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one way of bringing people into the fold and into a teamwork.
Right.
So it's about cooperation and not competition.
Okay.
So we want to work together to create a healthy community. And it's not just one person. Anybody who's interested, even if other physicians are, other providers are, they want to be a part of this nonprofit, they're welcome. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you're just starting something which, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, revolution where
mm-hmm.
you... you know, start something, you know, and it takes off so that it, I want that to happen so that it becomes a huge movement where
so,
it's
right.
helping people.
Are you allowed to refer as a licensed practitioner of medicine to any of these alternative
well,
modalities? Are you allowed to give a referral to someone
the
to
thing
try
is,
acupuncture or something?
Yeah, so all these dark laws, which is what it's called, like, you know, where you cannot refer to one people, only is within the insurance system. So
okay,
it's
right.
not
that's
the licensing part.
So it doesn't
part.
Matter. So that's not an issue
no.
at all.
So when they go to them, they make them sign a disclaimer saying that this is, you know, we're trying this, it's not part of treatment, it's just...
Yeah.
another modality to try.
Is
so
there,
if people are open to it, yeah, I'm not restricted.
Is there any liability? And I'm just kind of thinking,
on my part, no.
So if you refer somebody and they go to somebody that practices acupuncture and it doesn't go well, there's some problem there, do you have liability for referring the person?
No, because when they do the practitioner,
it's on them. Yeah, it's on
they
them,
do
right?
it. It's on them, and
yeah.
They make them sign a waiver. Any case,
right? But you don't have any liability in referrals,
mm-hmm.
though, right? Okay, I didn't think so.
And I'm not referring officially. It's not a paper referral.
It's
a suggestion.
Verbal? So, but is that documented in your charts?
Not always.
You might want to check on that too. You know, just on the safety. I mean, I don't mean to be paranoid about these
no,
things. But just to be safe with that, because when you have a interaction with a patient, that interaction is documented, right? So let me just turn this off for a second.